for joining us for this message today, which I've titled Worship, Giving Back. When God called Israel out of Egypt, he did mighty miracles for them, and he brought them to Sinai, and he said, when you come out, you're going to worship me on this mountain. So he did mighty things for them so they could worship him. And then he said to them in Exodus 19, I'm going to call this whole nation a nation of priests, and a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that you should worship me. You'll all be priests. In the New Testament, the Apostle Peter, a dyed-in-the-wool Jew, he said that this was now broadened to include Jews and Gentiles in the church. And it says in 2 Peter 1:9 that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We've been called out of the darkness into God's marvelous light so that we should praise him and talk about his glories and his excellencies. We were made to worship God. And last message, I was talking to you about the fact that worship is really seeing God's worth. That's kind of the heart of it. Seeing his worth, seeing how worthy he is, to the point that we're willing to give our lives to him, we're willing to submit to him, we're willing to obey him. And in the last message, as I finished up, I was referring to Psalm 116. And I want to refer to that again today. Psalm 116, 12 through 14, the psalmist said, how can I repay the Lord all the good he has done for me? And then he answers his own question, and he says, I will take the cup of salvation and worship the Lord. I'll fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. That's the Holman version of the Bible. And so I referred to this last week, and I was talking about how the psalmist says, you know, what can I give back to God? What can I render to God? How can I repay him for the benefits that I've received from him, for all the good things, for all the blessings that he's given to me? And he answers by saying, I'll take the cup of salvation. It seems to me that that's kind of expressing the idea that you become a worshiper by receiving from God, not by doing something on your own effort, but rather by receiving what God has to give you, by drinking the living water he gives. That's what the cup of salvation symbolizes. Today, I want to continue exploring that idea because I think that it's showing us a secret. It's showing us what the essence of worship is. I said that the essence of worship is seeing the worth of God. I think also the essence of worship is giving back to God. Worship is giving back. That's why I've titled this message, Worship, Giving Back. There's a lot of examples that I could share with you about this, starting with the Old Testament. Remember when the first boys were born, Cain and Abel? They brought from the products of their labor to God and offered them to God as sacrifice. Cain brought produce or wheat or harvest, agricultural product, right? And Abel brought livestock, probably sheep or goats. Now, God didn't honor Cain's offering. He honored Abel's. But the reason for that was because this was to be a type, and God wanted to teach the lesson that blood must be shed for the remission of sin. So God didn't accept Cain's offering because there was no bloodshed. But I would submit to you that the fact that the two brothers both wanted to bring something from their labor and give it back to God, that is a good thing in itself. It's the essence of worship. And as you go through the book of Genesis and further into the first five books of the Bible, you find that as men began to call upon the Lord, they always offered something to him. They always brought sacrifices. After the flood was over and they were rescued, Noah built an altar. And he offered up sacrifices to God. Abraham built several altars during his travels throughout the Promised Land, and he always offered up sacrifices to God. You see, worship is giving back to God. Moses, of course, when he brought the Israelites to Mount Sinai, he taught them a lot about sacrifices, how all the sacrifices God required, and so forth. And of course, one of the main points of that was that the soul that sins it shall die, and blood must be shed to atone for sin. So a lot of the sacrifices in the five books of Moses are about sacrifices for sin and shedding blood to atone for sin. And those all of course, look forward to or foreshadowed the death of Christ on the cross to save us from our sins. But among those offerings, there were other offerings. There were fellowship offerings, peace offerings, and thank offerings. And I would argue that these were given to God in recognition that he had first given to the Israelites. And so again, worship was giving back to God some of what he had given, okay? Of course, we saw last time around that the greatest example of sacrifice and worship in the Old Testament is that of Abraham, when God called upon him to sacrifice his only son that he loved so dearly, Isaac. He was to sacrifice him, give him back to God. And we saw last time that Abraham said he was going to worship when he went to do that. It was worship for him because it showed how worthy he saw God. God was worthy even of this terrible, costly sacrifice. God was worthy of everything. God had given his son to him, and Abraham said, I love you, Lord. I'm going to obey you. I'll give him back to you if that's what you ask. So we see the idea. Of course, he didn't have to sacrifice him. God gave a ram in his place, but he was willing to. And so that teaches us the lesson of how worship is giving back to God of that which he has given to us. There's many other examples. We see that Abraham paid tithes, or he gave a tithe of everything that he'd taken in the loot when they defeated the various kings who came over and invaded Palestine at that time and took away his nephew Lot, and he had to rescue him and so forth, and they got a lot of loot. When he came back, this priest named Melchizedek met them, and Abraham gave him a tenth. That was worship. He gave it to the priest as a representative of God. We see also that his grandson Jacob, when he was fleeing his brother Esau, he said to the Lord, if you'll take care of me, I promise that everything you give me, I'll give you a tenth back. I'll pay a tithe back to you. And then, of course, later on, the Israelites were told by Moses that they were to give a tithe of everything their land produced. All their land, all their agricultural products, whatever God gave them, they were to give a tithe back to him. That was how they were to worship. Did you know that they were also to present their children back to God in worship? Yeah. In Exodus 13, God told them to present their firstborn to him. Now, their firstborn weren't sacrificed the way Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son, but they were presented to God in a sort of a symbolism, expressing the idea that, Lord, we got our children, we received them from you, you loaned them to us, we give them back to you in worship. So even our children are to be given back to God. Worship is giving back. And then, of course, the Sabbath is another example of this, because God gives us the 7 days of the week, but he required the Israelites to give one of those days back to him, the Sabbath day, in a sign that they recognized all their days came from him, all their time was in his hands. So they gave back to him the hours of worship on Sabbath. So, and then we come to our text again, and I want to just recommend to you, read this whole Psalm 116. Also read Psalms 50 and 51. I'm going to bring some teachings on Psalms in the future, but I can't mention it much, can't go into that today, but I hope you'll read those. Let me just give you a quick overview of Psalm 116 so you understand the point I'm trying to make here. In verses 1 through 4, we find that the psalmist who wrote this, probably Asaph, had gone through great difficulties, and probably the whole nation. He was expressing that the whole nation had gone through great difficulties. One version I have at the top there, it says, thanksgiving for deliverance from death. And so it's a psalm in which he's giving thanks for being delivered from death in some way. Tremendous troubles and threats and difficulties in his life. And in the midst of those, he says, I called out to the Lord, and he says, because God heard and answered me, I love the Lord. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. And he says, I'll give thanks to him and pray to him for the rest of my life. You see that? That typifies worship, being giving back. He says, I love God because God loved him first, and God had delivered him and saved him and done all these things for him. In verses 5 through 8, he speaks of how God was gracious to him and merciful. He had dealt bountifully with him. So now his soul could rest. You know, we go through times when there's no rest. We're striving and struggling, and it's difficult, and there's so many threats and worries. But when God delivers us and answers our prayers, then there's a time of rest, and he could feel that rest in his soul. And so he says that produced in him a desire to do what? To walk with God. He said, I'm going to walk with God the rest of my days. What does that mean, walk with God? Well, it means I want to be with you, God. I want to give my life back to you. Why is he saying that? Because he's saying, God, you gave life to me. You delivered me. And so I'm going to walk with you the rest of my days. I want to give back. That's what worship is. And then the text we read, verses 12 through 14, he says, what shall I render to God for all the many benefits he's given to me? How can I repay God? And as I said, he answers his own question. He says, I'll do it by offering thanks. I'll do it by taking the cup of salvation. In other words, I'll receive what God gives me. I'll drink of it. I'll receive it. And I'll pay my vows to God. I promise this and this and this when I was crying out to you, God, I'll do this if you'll just save me. Well, I'm going to fulfill what I said. I'm going to fulfill my vows, and I'm going to do it publicly so others can also hear what God has done for me, and they can also glorify God with me and praise me, praise God for what he's done for me. You see, that's taking the cup of salvation. He says, I'm going to fulfill my vows. I remember hearing it was a movie or something where Burt Reynolds falls overboard or something. He's out in the middle of the ocean, and he says, oh God, if you'll just save me, I promise I'll give you all my money. I'll give all my treasures to you. And he's treading water and trying to swim, and after floating for a while, he sees this little island. And so he says, oh God, you know, look, I'm almost there. I'll give you half of whatever I make if you'll just let me get to the island. And then he struggles on, and he makes it to the beach, and he tells God, okay, I made it now, Lord. That's all right. Never mind. The deal's off. And so he doesn't fulfill his vows. Well, this person, this psalmist says, I will fulfill my vows. Everything I promised to do when I was asking for your help, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it publicly so everybody can hear the goodness of God and praise God with me. So we see here this idea of worship being giving back to God. And I like that word that's used in several versions, rendering back to God, rendering thanks and praise for who he is, what he's given to us, or what he's done for us. Think of this. Worship is giving back to God what he has given because he has given. It's giving back to him what he's given to us because he has given it to us. Matthew 22:21 has a good illustration of this. It's the time when the people came to Jesus and they wanted to tempt him, and they said, should we pay taxes or what? And he said, show me the coin. And they brought him the coin. He said, whose image is on this? Well, they said, Caesar's. He said, all right, if Caesar's image is stamped on this, give back to Caesar what's Caesar's, or render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render to God that which is God's. Of course, it blew them away. They didn't know how to deal with his brilliance. But it makes us all realize, if this is the image of Caesar, give it back to Caesar. But look at human beings. Whose image is stamped on us? Have you ever thought of it that way? Whose image is stamped on us? The coin had Caesar's image, so it should be given back to Caesar. Well, guess what? The Bible says every one of us has been stamped, if you will, with the very image of God. He created us in his image. So isn't it right for us to render back to God that which is his, that which is stamped with his image? We're obviously supposed to do that, huh? That's what worship is. Give back to God. Give yourself back to God. That's real worship. And of course, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that. It says, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, because this is your spiritual act of worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. That's real worship, giving back to God, giving your life back to God. Now, there's a negative example that I thought of as well. In 2 Chronicles 32, 25, there's an example of King Hezekiah when he didn't render back to God what was due. Now, Hezekiah was mostly a good king, but in this one case, he, like all of us, he deviated, he went off. And some of us, we forget to praise God, and some of us, we neglect our duties, we neglect to live for God. And Hezekiah, there was a time in his life when God gave him all sorts of benefits and saved him and rescued him and blessed him. And the Bible says there, 2 Chronicles 32, 25, he failed to render back. The same word, render, there that we find in Psalm 116. He failed to give back to God what was due to God. And it goes on to say, because he had become proud. He let his heart get hard. He let pride rise up in his heart. There's several things that can block real worship. Pride is one, and dullness, spiritual dullness, is another one. Pride is shown when a person thinks they deserve the benefits, or they think that they've done something themselves, kind of like Burt Reynolds, you know? Well, I made it now, God. I don't need you. I did this myself. You know, you prayed and God helped you get there, Burt, but now you're sure you did it yourself. Lots of people are that way. That's why the Bible says that it's hard for the rich to enter heaven, because rich people think, you know, I'm pretty smart. I made all this money on my own. And beautiful people think, I'm pretty beautiful. Look at how beautiful I am. And that's pride. We think that we did it, or we think that we deserve it, instead of being thankful for what God has given. And of course, spiritually, dull people, they don't pay attention. They're not awake. They don't recognize God's gifts to them. So how do we avoid this kind of thing that Hezekiah did? How do we avoid not rendering back to God? How do we become real worshipers? Well, I'd say there's two main things we need to do. Receive and perceive. That's the two words God gave me when I was praying about this. He says you need to receive and you need to perceive. See, Hezekiah fell into pride. Pride keeps you from receiving because you don't think you need anything. You're doing fine. You got all you need. You did it on your own. You don't need God's help. You're good enough. You don't need a savior. That's for the drug addicts, the really down and out people. I've made all right in my life. I've made money. I'm doing fine. I don't need God. Thank you very much. That's pride. Pride keeps you from receiving. Worship begins when you recognize that all you have has come from God and you're thankful for it. You know, you're humble. You receive from God. See, so many people today, it's so sad to think, but probably a great majority of people today don't ever acknowledge what God has given. And a lot of people, I've even had people say to me, God's never done anything for me. He hasn't done anything for me. How sad. Because the truth is, there's not a person on this earth who hasn't received innumerable gifts and blessings from God, whether they believe in him or not. He causes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous and the rain to fall. There are so many blessings God has given to everyone, whether we even believe in him. Think about this beautiful world, this creation that he's given to us. I mean, did you know scientists say that there's like 20-some factors that were fine-tuned specifically to create a place where living creatures like us could live? The beautiful stars, the galaxies, the nature all around us, the coral reefs, the oceans, the mountains, the colors, the plants, the animals. All these wonderful provisions have been given to us. And the Bible says that it's all ours. It was given to us. God made this place for us, folks. Think about our bodies and our minds that God has given us. Can anybody understand the mind? How does God wire the mind into these bodies of ours so that I know what it's like to be me and you don't, and I don't know what it's like to be you? You know, nobody can know what it's like to be you. Nobody can know what it's like to be me. My mind is wired into this body. My soul is in this body. Yours is in your body. Does anybody understand how that works? I had my shoulder replaced recently, and I was asking the doctor, how do you connect the muscles and all back to the bone? She said, oh, well, we glue it and all like that. Okay, they've learned how to do that. But does anybody really know how to cause two cells to come together and then build a whole body like this in a mother's womb? Come on. Think of the amazing marvels of God. Think of these eyeballs. They adjust automatically in the light or the dark. They clean themselves. Can anybody explain how those things come together? God created them. These parts of our body, they're knit together wonderfully. It is a marvel. God has given us all this. He has given it to us, yet we don't even appreciate. And then besides that, all the other things, the jobs we have, the money we've made in our lives, the skills we've developed. If you can sing or play an instrument or drive a forklift or whatever you do, you know, you can work on a diesel engine. God gave you those abilities. He gave us our homes, our cars, our families, our children, everything, all these wonderful gifts. How many of us acknowledge those gifts and worship God and give back to him? And think about it. What I'm just mentioning here, these are just material things. Think about all the spiritual gifts, the spiritual blessings God has provided. Romans 8:32 says, If God didn't spare his only son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Folks, the greatest gift that could ever be given has already been given to us in Christ. Can you imagine that? God gave his son. What more could he give? How much is the Son of God worth? In Ephesians 1:3, Paul says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Not just some of the blessings, every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the heavenlies. 2 Peter 1:3-4 says, God has given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness through his great and his precious promises. So I believe becoming a true worshiper, rendering back to God, begins when we take the cup of salvation the psalmist talked about, when we receive the great gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. Worship begins there. You receive Christ. You take the cup of salvation. You receive the greatest gift that's ever been given. You ask God to save you and to forgive you. When you do that, that's drinking the waters of life that God gives. That'll so change your life. You'll never be the same. You won't be able to keep from thanking and praising God if you receive that gift. If you think about it a bit, if you ponder it, you receive that gift, that changes your life. Worship will flow from that. Worship flowed from Israel when they were delivered out of Egypt. Worship flows from us when we ask Christ in our hearts and our sins are forgiven and we're given a new name and a new home in heaven and a future. We're given the Spirit of God to live within us. You see, Israel worshiped when they came out of Egypt. The psalmist worshiped because the Lord heard his prayer. We love and worship Christ because he first loved us and we receive that love. Worship depends on receiving. Now, it also depends on perceiving. And by that I mean recognizing how great our God really is and what we have in Christ. We need to open our eyes and recognize it. Ephesians 1 has a prayer from the Apostle Paul that you ought to pray for yourself every day. I pray it all the time. Let me read it for you. Ephesians 1, 15 through 20. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. What does he pray? Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Why? That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. You see, Paul was praying for the Ephesians to be able to perceive, to be enlightened, so that they would see the hope of his calling, so that they would see the incredible, glorious riches of his inheritance in the saints and his incomparable power. He said, I need to pray for you that you'll see this. I'm praying God will open your eyes so that you'll perceive it, you'll recognize it, you'll acknowledge it, and you'll appreciate what's called the unsearchable riches of Christ. We need this kind of spiritual perception, this kind of revelation. You know, we really do. We need to pray for this because otherwise we don't see what we have and we minimize it and we don't keep on going and press on for all that God has for us because we lose sight of it. And we don't give thanks to God because we don't realize what all he's done for us and what all he will do for us. We're dull, folks. Our natural tendency is to kind of go to sleep, to kind of take things for granted, or to be distracted by all the worldly influences and temptations and trials and all that, that causes us to lose sight of the hope of our calling, what he's calling us to, and the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and the great power that he had. We lose sight of it because we're dull. We don't perceive. My little grandkids were here a week ago or so, and when their grandma would give them something, they grab it and run off. And I was glad that my son-in-law would say, hey, come back. Hey, what do you say to Mimi? Grandma, what do you say to her? And they would say, thank you, Grandma. And I was pleased that he's doing that. He's teaching them to give thanks, to recognize what they've been given. When you're given a gift, you should be thankful. And you see, that's what we need. We need to be able to perceive more what God has for us so that we appreciate it and we acknowledge it and we thank God for it and we give back to God in worship. If you seek more from God, He'll give more to you. Remember, God is seeking for worshipers. We saw that last message. The Lord is seeking worshipers, people who see His worth and people who will give back to Him. Now think about that. God is seeking worshipers. Why is He seeking worshipers? Is it because He's a narcissist? Is it because He needs worship? No, that's why I want you to read Psalm 50. It'll tell you there, God doesn't have any need of anything that we can give. He doesn't want us to worship because He needs us. No, He wants us to worship because people who worship have to receive from God in order to be able to worship. They have to receive from God and perceive what He's given, and that fills them up, and it enables us to then give glory to Him and give worship to Him. God wants us to be worshipers because God wants to bless our lives. He wants us to fill us with Himself and with His presence and with His blessings. And He wants us to understand what we have so that we praise Him. He wants us to be worshipers for our good, folks. We were called to be a priesthood, to be a holy nation, to be worshipers. I want to close with one more story, and that is the story of the 10 lepers. Remember those? Jesus was traveling along the road, and 10 lepers came to Him. This is in Luke, I forget the chapter, 17, I think. 10 lepers came and they said, "Son of David, have mercy on us, heal us." And they didn't even draw close because they had leprosy. Jesus said, "Go to the priest and show yourselves according to the law." And you know, as they turned, they were healed. Well, the Bible says that only one of those 10 guys, when he realized he was healed, he turned back and came to Jesus. He ran to Jesus. And it says there in Luke that he, with a loud voice, he praised God and he prostrated himself. That's what worship is, to bow before. He prostrated himself before the Lord and gave Him thanks and gave Him glory. And Jesus said, "This guy's a Samaritan. He's not even a Jew. Where are the other 9 guys?" You know, God is saddened by that, that 9 people would walk away, that 1 in 10, only 1 in 10 gave back anything. God is seeking worshipers. He's looking for people who will give Him the glory that He is due. People who will sing praises to Him in a loud voice, both privately and publicly, like this guy did. Guys, that's why He has saved us. He's brought us out of the darkness into His light, that we should praise Him. That's what we're made for, to praise Him, to worship Him. That's what the church exists for. We're to worship Him on Sundays. Come with your heart prepared to worship. Sing psalms of praise. Sing about the glory of God and the works of God. Sing to Him. Magnify His name, that other people might hear, that other people might be drawn to this Lord, this God, that we have come to know, that we've been privileged to come to know. We are here to be worshipers of God. And folks, worship is giving back. Worship is giving back. It's rendering unto God His due. I hope that you will ask God to make you a worshiper and that all of us are growing in our worship to God day by day. Till next time, may the Lord richly bless you.